Hey, my name is Dan, and I want to welcome you to episode number 26 of our series on the Book of Acts, and number 318 of the podcast, More Than Bread. 318 episodes. I got to be honest, when I started this journey about 3 years ago, I think I wasn't planning on 318 episodes. I'm still not really planning on 318 episodes, but here we are. By the time I'm done with Acts, there'll be enough episodes to do one a day for a year. I mean, you could just start over year after year. I mean, if you're anything like me, you'll forget it enough that it may still seem a little bit fresh. That's the great thing about Lynn and I with movies. Maybe you've experienced that. It's like it doesn't have to be more than 2 to 3 years in between watching the same movie, and it seems pretty fresh, unless it was really, really good. But here's the deal. And listen, this is a valuable statement. The Word of God is always fresh. The Word of God is always fresh. Not my words, not my explanations or interpretations or applications. You'll find better elsewhere in the future. But no matter how often you read the words of God, it can seem fresh because the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to speak to us now, in our moment, in our current circumstances, now. It's always fresh. There's something to listen to, learn from, and lean into, but it's always fresh. So let's dive into Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read the story of Saul's conversion. Remember the context. This is coming after Stephen is stoned and great persecution, you know, arises in the church, and Saul's a part of it. And at the same time, amazing things are happening city to city, God's move of the church. And here's Saul's conversion story, his encounter with Jesus. I'm reading from the New International Version, Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, my words, that's what they called Christians at that time. They were the followers of the way. Whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind. He didn't eat or drink anything. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple, follower of the way, named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For at this very moment, he's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen vessel, my chosen instrument, to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up, he was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, I want to focus on one small statement in that scripture for this episode. It's a small statement with great significance. And I know you're going to remember it after I say it. And here's what it is. You have been chosen. Now, what comes to mind if I say to you, you have been chosen? Well, you might say it depends on chosen for what. Like if you get a registered letter from the government that begins with the words, "you have been chosen," that may not be very positive. But chosen to win best academic award, that's better, right? You know, I've officiated at hundreds of weddings as a pastor. A wedding is one of the deepest experiences of being chosen that there is. Like David and Esther were chosen for each other. Like your parents were chosen for each other. Like if you're married, you were chosen for each other. It's an amazing thing to be chosen for life. Lynn and I have been married for almost 40 years, and I'm still amazed at the fact that Lynn said yes to me. And in saying yes, she said, I choose you. But here's even better news. You have been chosen by God. I don't care whether you're married or single, young or old, man or woman, you have been, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been chosen by God for a great calling. So I've been pondering these few dozen words about Paul that God told a man named Ananias. In Acts 9, verses 15 and 16, we find that God spoke to Ananias and he said, go, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Now, who was this chosen vessel? He'll later become Paul. Before he became a Jesus follower, his name was Saul. Saul was born to wealthy parents. He was educated in the finest university in the country. Some suggested he was next in line to take over the family housing construction business. And yet at some point in his life, there was a significant embracing of his heritage, especially his religious heritage. In time, he became a passionate follower of his religion, Judaism, and he began to view Christians as the enemies of his state and his religion. So he gained the support of religious and national leaders, and he began to terrorize Christ followers. I mean, on his behalf, at his behest, Christians were thrown in jail, they were tortured, and they were killed. He became a household name. Most Christians feared him. But then one day, as he traveled to Damascus, thinking of new ways to persecute and kill Christians, he just had Stephen stoned to death, and he's on his way to Damascus to get rid of more Jesus followers. And in Acts 9, 1 through 9, we find that as he is nearing Damascus, he runs headfirst into Jesus, and Jesus knocks him off his donkey and lets Saul know that his life is headed in the wrong direction. Jesus knocks him down and blinds his eyes and tells him to go to Damascus and wait for instruction. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days. Paul goes to Damascus, and Saul goes to Damascus, and God speaks to a man named Ananias, a believer in Damascus named Ananias. And thank God for Ananias, because nobody else in the church wanted anything to do with Saul. In fact, to be honest, Ananias wasn't all too sure. God spoke to him in a vision and said, Ananias, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas and ask for Saul of Tarsus. He's praying to me right now. And I don't know. I just imagine when God told him to go visit Saul, I think Ananias probably said, prayed, thought something like, God, are you out of your eternal mind? I mean, I know you think he's changed, but what if it's just a trick? I mean, he's the one who had Stephen killed. My friends are in jail because of Saul. What did God say to Ananias? Verses 15 and 16. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to have God say those words to you? You are my chosen vessel. What does it mean to be chosen by God? What did it mean to Saul? I love this story in the book, The Whisper Test. Mary Ann Bird writes, I grew up knowing I was different and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. It's long, long years ago. And when I started school, my classmates made it clear how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshaped lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When classmates asked what happened to your lip, I would tell them that I had fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed better to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade. Everyone loved Mrs. Leonard. She was short and filled with life, and every year we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard would give the test to everyone in the class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something and we would repeat it back. She would say things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited for those words. Later, I realized they were words which God had put into her mouth, seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, "I wish you were my little girl." To be chosen by God is God saying to every person ever deformed by failure or hurt by the past or scarred by things said, done, or done against, I wish you were my kid. I wish you were my child. I choose you. And you know what? The most important thing I can tell you today in this episode, the most important thing I can tell you is that if you are a Jesus follower, if you've chosen to follow Jesus, you are God's chosen vessel. God has chosen you. God has chosen you. God is shaping you. He's created you for a purpose. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, even before the foundation of the world, God chose you. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, for we are God's masterpiece. You are what God does. He's creating you anew in Christ so that you can do the good things he planned for you long ago, long before you were born. God planned you. He created you for a purpose. If you're breathing today, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, God has a plan for your life. And that plan includes a dream. It includes a purpose, a mission designed long before you were born. And though that dream gets lived out in many different ways, there's a common heart, a common core that every life dream from God shares. At the heart, living the dream is not about making you a better husband or wife, mom or dad, sibling or friend. He's not working in every situation you encounter to transform you into a better engineer, football player, teacher, or nurse. Do you know what God's dream for us is today? God said to Paul, he says to each one of us, you are my chosen vessel. Chosen for what? Verse 15, I've chosen you to bear my name. I've chosen you to bear my name. What does that mean? Chosen to bear Jesus' name. It's more than just telling people about Jesus. It means being Jesus to people. Like if your life is like a jar, it means that God is passionate to fill your jar with Jesus. He wants you to become so full of Jesus that when people look at you, they see the heart of Jesus. He wants to fill us so full of Jesus that the inside begins to shape the outside, shaping us into servants and people of courage and wisdom and generosity. He wants you to become so full of Jesus that when you get bumped, no matter where you are, there he is, letting the presence of Jesus spill out of you, spill out of your jar into the jars of life around you. Ananias, God said, I want you to go to Saul. Oh man, God, are you sure? I mean, you know all the bad stuff Saul has done? But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, if I'm Ananias, I'm thinking, with that last statement, I will show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake. I'm thinking, oh, well, why didn't you tell me he's going to suffer? Yeah, I can tell him that. Because even if he's changed, I don't mind if he suffers a little bit for all that he's done. But would you let that soak in for a minute? Because there's a message there for all of us. He's a chosen vessel to bear my name, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my namesake. In other words, I think Jesus is saying, if you want to fill up your jar, God is saying, if you want to fill your jar up with Jesus, I can't promise you it will never hurt. See, if you want to become like Jesus, you're going to experience some suffering. In fact, you know what I wonder? I've been thinking about this for a few years now. When God said, I'm going to show Saul how many things he must suffer for my name's sake, I wonder if God meant that literally. Like, did God set Saul down and give him a vision of every moment of pain and suffering he would experience as a servant of God? And if you know the story, Paul, you know that there were many moments of pain and suffering. But what if in those first few days as Saul sat there blind, what if God gave him a vision of every moment of pain and suffering that he would experience if he went all out for Jesus, if he sought to fill his life full of Jesus and live out his calling as a chosen one, chosen to bear the name of Jesus? And then God said, okay, Saul, now you choose. Your life filled with Jesus and your lifetime filled with suffering, or your life filled with stuff and comfort and control and ease and a lifetime of comfort. I mean, if God gave us that choice, what would we choose? Paul chose his life filled with Jesus, even if it came with a lifetime of suffering. And you know what that means? It means that Paul had found that one brief encounter with the presence of Jesus to be so incredible, so awesome, so powerful that it was worth any price he had to pay. There's a booklet that's been used by God to lead many people around the world to Jesus, at least in my lifetime. It was called The Four Spiritual Laws. And the first law was this: God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And you know what? I believe that's true, especially looking back and looking far forward. But what if the flip side is also true? God loves you and has a difficult plan for your life. Not too many worship songs about the God who loves me and has chosen me and leads me into times of suffering. But you know what? When you're going through hard days, that is good news for you, because your suffering does not mean that God has stopped loving you. It simply means that he's chosen you and he's shaping you for a great calling. Listen to me. God has chosen you. You're his masterpiece. He's been shaping you for the good works he's already prepared for you to do. He loves how he's made you inside and out. You're his treasure. And I know that he's smiling on you today. That's what a father does. I mean, have you ever sensed how much he loves you? It changes you when you sense that. You can't help but love him back. In fact, Paul writes in Philippians 3:7, later on in his life, after he's gone through this, even in the midst of suffering, he says, I once thought all these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jack Deere, in his book, Surprised by the Power of the Spirit, says, I want these passionate feelings to characterize my relationship with the Lord Jesus. If discipline alone is what ultimately drives us in our pursuit of Jesus, eventually we will give up that pursuit. But a man or woman in love will never quit. And I want my life. I do. I want my life to be characterized by an unrestrained affection for the Son of God. You know, last night, as I was thinking about this episode, as I was thinking about all those of you who will listen, I don't know, 100, 150 people, and I was just thinking about you and praying for you. I began to be overwhelmed with emotion, even though I'm not sitting where you are. And I may know you, but I don't even know who's listening. But it's like my heart just kept expanding till there were points where I thought it was going to push out my chest. And I was sitting there praying for all of you and thinking about all that God wants to do in you and through you. And my part in your life, this little podcast, is so small, but I, at the same time, I kind of feel like my heart is bursting with a father's pride for you. Like, I can't wait to have you go out and be who God made you to be. Like, I can see things inside of you that you can't even see, but I know that they're there. And when I think about those things, I can barely contain the joy in my heart. And I'm feeling all this father stuff, maybe for people who are even older than me. And I'm just saying, God, I don't even know where this is coming from. I don't even know who all is listening. In some cases, all I know are names, and I don't even know all the names. And it was like God just kind of said to me, I know you don't know them, but I do. And I just wanted to give you a little taste, because a little taste is all your heart can take. I wanted to give you a little taste of the joy I feel when I look at them. And Dan, I want you to tell them that they bring me great joy. Listen to me. You bring Father God great joy. He's chosen you to bear the name of Christ, and you bring him great joy. So go and let your life be so full of Jesus that he leaks out of you everywhere you go. When you suffer, when people bump up against you, when they crack the shell of your heart, you're so full of Jesus that Jesus just leaks out everywhere you go. Be compelled by Christ, for he has chosen you and called you to do a good work. Father God, I lift up each and every person listening. I pray that by your Spirit, you would help them for even just a moment to feel the delight that you feel in them. You chose them and appointed them and adopted them. Even before the world began, you saw them and you love them. You've been waiting. You've been waiting for centuries, for millennia, just to let them know how very much you love them. Would you pour your Spirit out upon them? Would you give them that sense of calling, of being chosen to bear your name, to be like Jesus everywhere they go? Thank you for all the grace you give us, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.